Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. KFC Supercoach AFL is back. Play now at supercoach.com.au.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour, and it is grand final week. So for 4 and 20, Damien Barrett's here.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session. Footy isn't footy without a hot 4 and 20. Find your favourite 4 and 20 in your local supermarket freezer aisle or convenience store pie warmer today.
Oh, how good the 4 and 20, by the way. As Damo is online from Perth, welcome to you, Damo.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Bill. And we're getting there, aren't we? 2 weeks have built up to this this big game. It does feel as though the buys just slowed things down a little bit, but I'm sure now that the Brownlow is out of the way, and that was a really good event last night at Perth Soptus Stadium. And yeah, here we go. Countdown's on.
Oh, slowed things down over there, Damo. Should be over here, mate. Fair dinkum, nothing happened over the weekend. Absolutely nothing. It's been very windy. But if you come down from the roof, don't know if you saw the Sunday footy show yesterday, Jim, but Damo and Kane Corns were on top of the Optus Stadium roof, and you look petrified, Damien.
Yeah, Bill, as I said, I'm not actually afraid of heights, but I certainly don't go seeking them. And when we got up there, we only had about 5 or 8 minutes or whatever it was to get ourselves harnessed in before we went live to our show, Bill. And I did look around. I thought, I better get this look over my shoulder out of the way before I may need to on air. And that was a moment I then did grab the railing and just to make sure that I was there, Bill. But I think the knuckles were, I think it gave true meaning, didn't it, to that white knuckle sort of analogy.
I had to do something for Adelaide breakfast. Of course, Bernard and all that lot have moved into breakfast for a couple of weeks, I think maybe permanently given Dittmar's performances. But I did. I gave them 10 of my tightest minutes, Purple. I didn't go with this off the top because I wanted to get your thoughts on this. And they were asking me about Bill and how he made the whole Sunday footy show about himself and leaving and all the rest of it. And I had to break on that show that he'd been sacked actually 4 years ago, and it's taken him this long to get him out.
Which is untrue, by the way, Jim. I haven't been sacked. I've been called in a couple of times. I must have said some interesting things because I've visited HR and also the head office. But no, it was on my terms, Jimmy boy, and it was a lovely show. Anyway, the broadcast.
Did I detect a little welling in the eyes, Bill? It was hard to tell with the return vision we eventually got through a small iPad. Did I see a little bit?
No. Well, no, because I told you boys a week before. That was probably the more emotional side of things, telling you boys.
Have a listen to this. So you're like a retired player, Fat. You're standing up in front of the group and telling them that you're finishing up.
And then I'll come back next year, halfway through the year. Hey, what about the broadcast? The Brownlow medal last night. Well done to Ollie Wines. The broadcast went all right, Jimmy boy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, we had an issue over here because we had about the count got to about the fourth round and then it broke into news.
Oh.
So Brian and I are sitting in front of the telly. We're like, what the hell's happened to the Brownlow? So I don't know what happened for about an hour in the middle there. But no, a worthy winner, Ollie Wines. And of course, Damo, you put a very nice question to him when we gave him the course of Triple MVP, which happened prior to the Brownlow. But I'd like you to listen to this.
Have you given it some thought? Do you feel that the season you have had is worthy of being on the podium tomorrow night?
Yeah, interesting question. I think I've had an outstanding year.
Oh, bang!
Outstanding year, Jim. Well, it was, wasn't
well,
it?
He
wasn't lying.
He has. Yeah.
And it wasn't an interesting question, by the way. It was just a good question.
That's a fair point, Bill. But we got the answer we wanted, and 36 votes later, 3 clear of Marcus Bontempelli, 5 clear of Clayton Oliver, and 6 clear of Sam Walsh. They became the first time 4 players ended up with 30-plus votes. His speech on the night itself, too, was really nice, wasn't it? He can tell he's a good speaker, and he's very genuine. But I love the work of the football operations boss there at the Power, too, Chris Davies, who was in the room. It dawned on Ollie that, I don't know why it dawned on him only about 5 minutes before he actually officially won the award, that he might have to speak about it. So he got Chris Davies on the back of his name card to put down a few pointers. And there's a good screenshot of that going around on social media now. So the words honoured was the first word he said that Ollie should talk about. Then it was club and supporters, teammates, family, AFL, brackets, COVID, and then the envy of Western Bulldogs in Melbourne playing in the grand final. So that's a really good little snapshot of items that he had to tick off on in that speech, wasn't it? When he did.
Good
he
man.
Did.
Very good man, Chris Davies. He's a beauty. I want to just ask you both something. Why, and of course, Bartholomew. What have all these players got in common? Wines, Bontempelli, Oliver Walsh, Parrish, Steele, Mitchell, Boak, Petrarca, Lyons.
Midfielders? Accumulators?
The midfielders. Is there anyone else playing this game?
No.
This award, no. Or should we just call it the Brownlow Medal for the best midfielder in the comp?
Well, it happens every year, Jim. I don't know why you're so surprised.
But that's 10 of them.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, there's not a forward or a defender who's worthy of being in the top 10.
I don't think they get near the top 10, do they, Jim? It's official now that a ruckman or a key position player is just not winning the Brownlow Medal ever again. No. It's just, I think it's official. It's a, I mean, it's not just the accumulation of votes required to win a Brownlow Medal. It's not even one-off games where they are clearly the best player, or at least the most important player for the result of a game of footy, be that a forward who kicks, you know, 5 or 6 goals, which is the modern day bag, or the defender who holds the superstar to none or one goal. So they're not even getting those votes along the way. And it's not just the Brownlow, is it though, clearly? I mean, the players themselves vote the exact same way. The Coaches Association, which I thought was going to be the award that rectified this somewhat, that did acknowledge the other people apart from midfielders, but they do it too, Jim, and clearly every media award's fallen in line as well. So, we've got this mesh of awards, but they ultimately spin out and spit out the same either player or type of player, which is here to stay, unfortunately.
Here's my question about it, Fat.
Yes.
Jake Lever and Stephen May, I think, have been as important as any two players to any team in the competition all year.
Mm-hmm.
They are playing in a grand final, I think, in a huge way because they managed to get those two playing the way they are. They got 3 votes between them.
3?
Yep.
Well, and as you say, if they win the grand final, it's because of Jake Lever and Maisie. So I don't know. I don't know how you change it. What about if you had votes 5, 4, 3, 2, 1?
Add some more, you think, Fit?
Yeah, 5.
I just think it's still just stretched down the line to 2 more midfielders, Bill. I really do. I mean, it's the way they think. And I still advocate that the umpires are by far and away the only group of people who can vote on the Brownlow. There's other awards that you can have other people voting for, but they are the one true group of people that is independent and not conflicted. Everyone else absolutely is. So when I say that, they do, though, clearly listen. And you know, they know what the narrative is going into a season. They know what the narrative is going into a given round of footy. And they do get the stats. They don't promote the fact they get the stats, but they do get access to stats. So they know that their own thoughts can be married up with the stats sheet. And I mean, look sometimes a 32 possession game, as we know, it's a lot of those may be quick handball gives and receives, and it doesn't necessarily mean they are the best player on the ground, but that's the way the media is going to vote. And they clearly umpires get some comfort in having an alignment of views to a point that with the general conversation going around about footy.
And in the Willis, I enjoyed the tweeting work of Dane Swan.
Yeah.
Nice of Tarakash to fit out Petrarca and Oliver. when did Nate Fife join the John Butler trio?
Oh, mate. Outstanding.
His work is very good.
And who was the WA band?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
He had a crack at them. He wanted to go to sleep.
Well, you were there, Purple. Who were they?
Yeah, I think it was called the Southern River Band, or it came from the Southern River area, Jim, which I was told by someone on the table last night is a region of Perth. I think it actually was called that.
Not the Little River.
No, I think it was called the Southern River Band, Bill. At least from Southern River. But I didn't mind them. They did the cover of AC/DC. You didn't like it, Bill? I didn't mind it.
Well, I love Swanee's tweet about them when he's given it there. Right, I need some sleep. Get that band back on.
Hey,
we need to get to a...
Oh, saw your boss there too, Hutchie. We saw a big Hutchie there.
Oh, jeez. We're front and centre, the supercar driver.
Oh, I thought that was right, Hutchie right there, but it's Brian.
Well, I just on Kane Corns, you referenced before, I left him 10 o'clock Perth time yesterday, which is the time that the footy show finished, Bill. And I said to him, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm going home for a sleep and a run, and I'm looking really forward to doing both. And I said, hey, no worries. And I'm not going to the Brownlow? Nah, no invitation, no interest, no chance. First person I saw when I walk in there, Kane, and I said, what's going on? He said, oh, Hutchie. I'm Hutchie's plus one. Jim, I reckon, knowing the way Hutchie works, he would have asked 33 people before he got the cup.
Yep. No, he would have been disappointed that was the result.
Obviously said no.
Oh,
Oh, yeah. No. Well, for good reason.
Yeah.
Hey, we need to get to a break. We need to discuss some other stuff that's going on in footy with you, Purple, including Robbie Tarrant leaving North Melbourne to go to Richmond.
It's the Rush Hour. JB and Bill, Triple M.
This is Damo's Recovery Session on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Triple M's Rush Hour with James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless. And for 4 and 20, Damien Barrett joins us.
And we're going to talk Robbie Tarrant here, Purple. We discussed this on the Saturday Rub. It was broken, actually, during the course of that show. So he's going to Richmond for 2 years. He's going to be 33 or just about to turn 33 at the start of next year. Good decision by them. What do you think?
Yeah, good decision by Richmond, good decision by Robbie Tarrant, and I feel for the second consecutive year in this trade space, a bad one by North Melbourne, both from a personal and person point of view when it comes to Tarrant being added to Ben Brown, who did the same thing last year, but clearly from the talent side of the situation too, where you've got a guy who's about to be a key player in a grand final team this weekend in Brown, and Tarrant also too. The only reason he had by his standards, a different 2021 was because he missed the first half of it because of a serious requirement for surgery on a health issue. So I thought when he came back, he was nearly as good as he always has been for North Melbourne. And it's a massive hole, Jim. They lowballed him. They then added a year to it after they knew that he was real and they had allowed him to get his head around going elsewhere. And then added a bit more money to it as well. But if you're going to do that to someone who's been so loyal to you over the journey, do it. Make your first offer the best offer, not the one on the run when you're starting to react to the reactions that he's had as a result of your own dealings.
So, Bill, this is my concern with it. North Melbourne in 2021 were the worst team in the competition at defending D50.
Mm-hmm, right.
The worst.
Yes.
So, in other words, when it goes inside their defensive area, they get scored against more than any team in the game. So I would have thought you'd actually be trying to bolster that area, not take your best player out of that area.
Well, exactly right. And I think Damien's right. I reckon they thought, oh, he'll just stay. He's been around for a long time, Robbie. He's part of the furniture. Didn't give him the best offer. Richmond have done really well, snuck in under the guard, and then they've gone, oh, geez, we need him. So who... They got Core, I think they're saying. He might come in and replace him, but he's no Robbie Tarrant.
No, he's not.
But also, he's played 100 games Purple in 8 years, Aidan Core.
Yep. Yep, that's exactly what's in front of him. I mean, if his body lets him play, he plays. But ultimately, his body has affected the ability to play continual footy. So there's an issue there. You've got your man, Bill, the plugs man, Walker, is an option. Mackay's still a developing key back, and he's going to play, and he's getting better each and every year. But Jim, you know this. You can't form a back line around 1.5 players. You need a bulk of them, don't you? And you reference May and Lever there before. That's what every club aspires to get, and you're not going to get that from North Melbourne. I do question how they let people like Brown and Tarrant go, because while they are in a different stage of their club's list composition and where they think they are, you still need to keep your good players. And the other aspect of it too is I still feel you need to respect the players who've stuck by you over the journey when they've all had offers to go at various times. And then I think it leaves a pretty sour taste the way both these players have been ultimately shunted out of the club.
Yep, exactly, Damien. What's going on at Carlton? There's talk that Michael Voss is coming over to Melbourne to get interviewed.
Yeah, Bill, I'd personally love to see him get another chance. He's clearly prominent on that list of names that is well beneath Alistair Clarkson when it comes to the priorities for Carlton Footy Club. We've talked for a few weeks now, and you're all over this, that Brian Cook, now that it's official as of late last week, is in the chair now, and that's going to be his primary role, and he will be making all sorts of arrangements and manoeuvrings off-field and with conversations. But while he's doing that, they're going through, I think, what sounds now finally and belatedly to be a good process. And Voss is prominent, Bill.
Yep.
You've also got Daniel G and Siracusa on that list quite prominently as well. The two Adams, Adam Kingsley and Adam Uze as well, Bill, of the known candidates that are going through the process. But yeah, Voss's name has been quite prominent now since the Blues did make an approach about 10 days to 2 weeks ago.
Just on that, Michael Voss into $1.50 with the betting agencies, and they get it normally right. Adam Kingsley at $2.60, but $1.50 is coming overnight, Damo, so watch this space.
Watch this space, yep.
Also, what are you making about the teams? Any changes? Because I hear Melbourne Jaden Hunt is an interesting one. I know they won't want to make too many changes at Melbourne, and the young boy Jordan's been very good. But
he has.
If you bring in Hunt, he gives you a bit of run down back. He can play forward and kick goals. It's an interesting one, that one, I reckon.
It's funny watching them, Bill, and as I have a couple of times in the past week at training and also in the match simulation, to see Jaden Hunt run around in the red vest as they're requiring the players who aren't in the 23 to wear. And he just seems to be, to me anyway, just a permanent member of their starting team. But he hasn't been able to get back in, has he? So I was there on Saturday night when Spargo had that ankle injury. It looked dicey there for a moment, but he did walk to the bus himself without any great assistance. And while they haven't yet had a proper training session since that point, there's no great fear, Jim, or Bill, that he's going to be a danger to miss. But, I mean, look, Hunt would come into that calculations, Bill, if he was, as would Vandenberg, who trained pretty well on that particular occasion. The other team interests me, though, Jim. Alex
Spargo Keith, is fine, by the way. There's absolutely 100%. No problem with him. He's playing and very important to them, too,
yes.
Charlie Spargo.
Yeah, it's good. Alex Keith's availability is interesting because, look, he's done enough now to be a lock once his body says he's right to go. So what that means for one of,
Cordy,
or maybe more, Cordy or Gardner. Yeah. That seems to be the two, doesn't it, Bill? Yeah. And it's the beauty of what Luke Beveridge has done. About round 18, round 19, it dawned on us in the media that he'd played 41 out of the 43 on his list. And that's an extraordinary stat in a year that your team is making its way toward a grand final. But you get to the grand final and you know that whoever you put into that team can perform on the day. So that's the beauty they've got. I do wonder too, Jim.
Well, Waitman's got to come in too.
Waitman will come in as well. Yeah.
Yes. So maybe.
But I do expect
Vandermeer or Scott.
I reckon Scott will be the one that comes out. He was the sub, the medical sub. Yeah. The 2 weeks that these two coaches have had, and I'm probably referring more to Luke Beveridge here, the way he prepares for a game of footy and the specifics within a game, it does interest me, Jim, as to what they're going to do and what they may have discovered even in this extra time they've got to build up for this game, because clearly Max Gawn is the crucial player on the ground from a Bulldogs perspective. Steph Martin got through the prelim final. He's going to turn 35 before the calendar kicks into 2022. He's only played the one game since round 12 and only one game that was his first game for 5 weeks as well. So he hasn't got much footy in the system, but without him, I just think it would have got away from them in that space on the ground.
Well,
and what he's going to do around that.
Here's the thing, Purple. I've watched the two home and away games between these clubs. Firstly, there's bugger all between either of them. Both of those games were much tighter than the scoreboard indicated. And secondly, the Dogs did a very good job in both keeping the ball out of Max Gawn's hands. I think he took 7 marks combined for those two games. He wasn't able to fold back in the hole and have the impact he had against other teams. So they've already had pretty good success against him in the two games.
Yeah, and they've in one of those two games, Jim, I think it was the one that they won, and I think also the one that they lost, that they were able to rove to him to a point, weren't they? Where they it didn't sort of upset their own movements and dynamics in that midfield group. So, yeah, it's just fascinating. I mean, again, what Simon Goodwin does with the Bailey Smith problem, that it is a problem. I mean, a guy who's kicked 7 goals in his past 2 finals and will just run. He will run further than Kane Corns if he had to. So, he's just going to pose a problem at some stage,
and
just
faster
simply for that
and
run.
Better looking.
And bigger and
all of the above. Hey, Willis, my understanding as we go to the end of this fine segment, my understanding is that the Brownlow last night, there was a local over there, a West Australian over there in the house, who took exception to our man.
Who? Purple.
Damo. Not happy with him, fronted up and started doing a bit of trash talking, a little bit of have some of this.
Well,
and then when Purple was just starting to really get concerned that things might just go awry.
Oh, no. What happened?
In step Big Jacker.
Glenn Jakovic.
Glenn Jakovic stepped in and the bloke just evaporated.
Damo.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment, Jim, to a point. I was talking to Glenn Jakovic, and the bloke didn't realise I was talking to Glenn Jakovic, and as he was sort of...
what did he say to you,
just reminding me of a few... I used the W word at one stage, Bill.
A wanker.
I didn't know the context of that, Bill, and then I quickly did realise the context.
I think it's wanker, Damien.
No, I think that's what he did say, Bill.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, that's maybe a good point too, Bill. But as he was talking, he then eventually looked up to see who I was talking to, and he didn't notice that it was a very big man who was moving in toward his space, and then he just quickly disappeared. So, thank you, Glenn.
The big Croatian just stepped in.
Who, very calmly, though. He's a very calm man, Glenn, as you both know.
Who dominated Wayne Carey during his playing
career. There's a problem there between those two, isn't there?
No doubt.
Duck. Yes.
No doubt about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ducks branded him Joe Frazier. Can you believe that?
When did he say that? I didn't hear him last Saturday.
He called him Joe Frazier. He said the only reason people know Joe Frazier is because he fought Muhammad Ali.
That's it, exactly.
The only reason people know Glenn Jakovich is because he played on me, Duck. Come on, Duck. Give us a spell. All right, so what's the rest of the week?
That does get through Duck's psyche of past performance. Because you've always referred to him and the Chief as having no predators in life, let alone footy. I reckon Duck does. I reckon he got him a few times, Jacko, the way he's carrying
niggles,
on.
Niggles. Yeah. It does niggle him, the impact that he had. Now, what's the rest of the week holding
lunches
for you, please, Bevel?
Lunches?
No. I've got a few interviews teed up. Just get around the town. And then are we catching up, Jim, when you finally get out of your, what's it been, 6 weeks of quarantine?
Oh, my God. It feels like 6 weeks. Yep. I can't believe it.
We've got to catch up in the diary arranged, have we?
I think that surely.
Tomorrow evening? Yeah.
Surely.
I think there is one in the diary, Jim, but
if we're eating, we better get to the table before Archie.
And a mouse will take you out too. He wants to take you out for lunch. He's going to ring you today, boys.
No, he rang me after Saturday, Bill.
Good.
Again. Very generous with his time, Mouse.
He better not ring me because that means you've given him my number, Fat. All right, Damo, go and enjoy the week. Thanks very much for your time today.
Cheers, boys.
Damo's recovery session on Triple M's Rush Hour. Footy isn't footy without a hot 4 and 20. Find your favourite 4 and 20 in your local supermarket freezer aisle or convenience store pie warmer today. Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. KFC Supercoach AFL is back. You could win the holy grail of fantasy footy and 50k cash. Play now, supercoach.com.au.